trust you for grace to help us as we look into your word. Mark chapter 4. You know, I usually say this, that spiritual growth, when we first met Jesus, many of us, our idea of spiritual growth was a bit faulty. It's not some terrible faultiness, so to speak. It was just hinged on the flesh, so to speak. You wanted to speak more in tongues. You wanted to. Many of us interpreted spiritual growth as the ability to do more spiritual gymnastics. Are you together with me? That if you can, we assume that if we can pray more, if we spoke in tongues more, then it means that we have grown spiritually. And now, the better for us, if we can pray more and speak in tongues more, it is better for us. But it does not translate to spiritual. It does not mean that it's spiritual growth. Amen. And then I think I looked at this at a particular topic we're looking at when Jesus Christ was speaking about, if you want to come into the kingdom, you must be converted like a little child. That at times, growth in the things of God is not just going up. At times, growth in the things of God is cutting you down into size. Amen. It's not just adding to you. At times, you grow when God takes from you. You understand? The taking away of excesses is growth. Are we on the same page? And so, and again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many, many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Can you give me, I'm looking for a particular intro. You know, this particular parable is so key that almost all the, give me Luke 8. Almost all the synoptic gospel, maybe aside from John, I'm not sure of John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke gave this account. And then that's very important. Now it came to pass that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The translation says that he went teaching and preaching the rule of God's kingdom, the how God's kingdom operates. And the 12 were with him. So, now, let's read verse 2. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene. So, now, when you look at that crowd, let's look at the composition of that crowd. That crowd comprises of his disciples, women who were healed of evil spirits and infirmities. So we have people who are, demons have been casted out of them, and people who have been physically healed. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come out 7 demons. Johanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So, when you look at the crowd, we see disciples in that crowd. We see people that had enjoyed healing in that crowd. Those that have been delivered from demons in that crowd. And then we also see some women that supported Jesus' ministry financially. Amen. And in other ways. That's Johanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Actually, this woman was like the head of, historically, this woman is like the head of, She's not just Herod's, not just servant. She's a big woman, so to speak. And so that's the reason you will notice that they were the ones and some other women taking care of Jesus' needs from their resources. In fact, actually, some version even made it clear that it was not just Jesus. Not some version, some original transcript did not say that instead of providing for him, they said providing for them from their substances. And that when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. So when we look at the rendering in Mark, the rendering in Mark said that this particular preaching is the preaching of the kingdom. Amen. Are you together with me? Can we say the preaching of the kingdom? Can we say the preaching of the kingdom? Now, I've told you severally that the purpose, the reason Jesus came is to get us saved, and the reason for salvation is so that we can operate the life of God. Are you together with me? Can we say operate the life of God? In various contexts, personally, community-wise, family-wise, and all of that. It is the operation of divine life. That is to say, the internal composition of your person, the way you are living, you are going to live your life from within, will be different from the way every other person lives his life. Are you together with me? When you look at philosophy, psychology, and vision and mission, manner, attitude, the whole composition of your being, amen, would be the way God would have it to be. And this is very serious. This is what Jesus came to teach, to bring to bear. Amen. He came to release. So when we, for example, issues of discussions like faith and realities like faith aren't just realities. It's not just what we use once in a while to receive. These are the conditions of heart that God expects his child to live by. The Bible says that in the book of Romans chapter 1, is it verse 17 now? Speaking about the gospel of God is the power of God. And from there, faith. Give me Romans 1 verse 17. From there, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For it is the righteousness of God. Give me 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Mark chapter 4, this is the same gospel that Christ was trying to preach. Are you together with me? It is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is not a one-off message. It's not just a message you hear just once. It is a lifetime message, which is just not, it is comprises of teachings and impartation. Can you say teachings and impartation? Teachings and impartations. The teachings are to show us the way, but the teachings carry in themselves power for impartation, which is to alter the condition of the mind or the heart. I don't know if you heard that. The teachings are intended to alter your mind. Listen. If in a crusade, you have the power to multiply, you have the faith to multiply food like Jesus did, or you have the faith to bring healing, I don't know if you are with me, like Jesus did in a crusade, you can, and healing will happen in mass P. And in your personal life, you are intimidated and confused and depressed over a 10,000 naira need. Such a person is not living in the kingdom. Are you together with me? That's not kingdom. Do you understand that? The kingdom is a way of life. It's the condition, the makeup of the inward man. That's why Jesus Christ said, they will tell you, I am there, I am here. He said, don't listen to them. The kingdom is where? Is in you. It's not in external observations. Are you together with me? This is why the Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here to train you and to help you to walk in the kingdom. To be a child of the kingdom. To be able to live out kingdom life. And then see, many of us are far from the conditions, from the life of the kingdom internally. The fabric of our soul is still tied down to the shores of the flesh and the shores of the former man. Are you together with me? God is taking out that attachment and releasing us. Amen. Amen. So, where many of us see Jesus, many of us are able to see and enjoy Jesus when he multiplies bread. But many of us do not see Jesus on how the confidence with which he was living when he did not have money to pay tax. The boldness and the assurance. You just gonna talk about where the tax collectors had approached him and there was no money. That, how was he able to have stability? Amen. What is the fabric of his soul? What is he made of? Okay, when he got to Lazarus' tomb, I'm extremely amazed at his ability to raise Lazarus after being dead for 4 days. But that's not my major amazement. My amazement is the peace. Do you understand? The peace. When he told them that Lazarus is not dead, he's asleep. Now, that is a lifestyle beyond miracle working power. That is a man living in the kingdom. Do you get what I'm talking about? So the work of what is happening right now to you, the engagements going on with your life, the interactions that you are having with the Holy Ghost, and the commandments the Holy Ghost is giving you, is to drive you into the kingdom. Because except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom, but he must now be born of water and spirit until he enters. Water to be find the word, and spirit to be find what? Impartation. Do you understand that? The word and impartation. Those are the two realities that will launch us into kingdom life. Are you together with me? And the possibilities of kingdom life is beyond imagination. But right now, I'm teaching beyond the impossibilities. I'm talking about just being in the kingdom. Do you get that? Do you know that when we go to the other side, when this place is ended, there'll be not much physical amazement anymore. I mean, the flow of the miraculous. But there will be, because in the increase of his kingdom and his government, there shall be no end. So even when we go to the other side, the kingdom will still amaze us. So there are possibilities beyond the spectacular. Are you together with me? I don't know if you are listening to this. There are conditions within, conditions of heart, condition of the mind, that is beyond the spectacular. Listen, the Christian discernment has its foot on what I'm talking to you about. The Christian discernment is not external. The Christian don't see with physical eyes. The Christian man discerns by the unction within. The unction within is the spirit of the kingdom. Are you together with me? The Christian discernment, hear this, don't forget what I just said. The Christian discernment, it has nothing to do with the external stuff. The Christian discernment is what? Is internal. And that's why we'll find out that there will be things great here that are not great there. And there will be things not great here that are what? That are great there. So, Jesus spoke to some people and said, when I was hungry, you do know what? Feed me. Huh? Amen. When did he say that? Can you give me that scripture? I just want to encourage you that no matter where you are on a very beautiful journey. I just want to encourage you that something is happening. Changes are happening within you. Yeah, that I just want you to know that your Christianity is not boring. You are taking steps into God's government. Amen. And we must understand this because this is the chief parable. The chief parable is the kingdom parable. Are you together with me? Matthew, give me Matthew 25 from verse 35. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then it will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Is that all? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they would answer, 35, 45, 46. And this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, when you look at the criteria for coming into life, are you together with me? There are criteria that are not big deal. Amen. When you look at that scripture, you will wonder, what would Jesus judge people by? Again, if God was going to judge, would he judge people by how well they fed people? Or how well they clothed strangers? How well did they treat their brethren? You know, how you treat your brethren would tell us about the condition of your heart. I don't know if you got together with me. Especially how you treat the least. Do you understand that? How you treat who? The least. You know, it is still easy to treat well those that appear like the greatest. Huh? You can still give honor to those that appear like the greatest. When you see a man of God, the great man of God, what do? You treat the man of God well. But when you now see the least of the brethren, now, these are actions you will not even think. You see, you will not think to treat him evil. It's not a topic. It's just the condition of imperfection in your heart. You will behave normal. If you have not allowed the Holy Spirit. So you would be shocked that the conditions of your heart, how you relate with the guy opening the doors for you in your eatery. You will be shocked. That tells God who you are more than the 3 hours in your prayer closet. You'll be shocked. You will not know. You will think God would only judge you by how much you have prayed. Whereas you just spent 3 hours in prayer. And when you left prayer, you made the people that were low to you put more burdens on them. And God says, that's who you really are. I don't know if you are hearing this. And then these stuffs are not just stuffs that you would just decide to change. You can't decide to change them like that. It will take the Holy Ghost to bring you into the kingdom so that you can understand why a man once said in his word that from where God is, if he's to look at man from where he is, he says man is like grasshoppers. Then after some years, for God so loved men that are like grasshoppers, he now gave his only begotten son. You can see the honor God is giving to us. I don't know if you're together with me. Did you hear that? That there is a whole lot of honor God is giving to us, even though we are very little. Are you together with me? Very little. So the Christian message is the kingdom message. What Jesus came to do is to bring men in to the kingdom. Let's see a popular scripture on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very popular scripture. Let's just see. So that we will not be confused. Do you understand that? You won't be confused. You will know where you are, where you are going to. You won't be confused. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of what? Angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a what? Or a clanging cymbal. Now, this is not fake tongues. He's not talking about fake. He's talking about real tongues. Now, these tongues, are you together with me? Is the manifestation of the Spirit. Is that true? Of the gift of the Spirit. This love is the nature of God. Kingdom. So if you do this and it's not powered by kingdom, it says nothing. Let's read two. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I have the gift. Now, who gave you the gift? The Holy Ghost. Now, this is God will not. Now, listen. Don't reduce or pursue this thing so. Because the Bible says we should convert spiritual gifts. But I'm telling you the purpose of Christianity. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now, yeah, brothers and sisters, these are real possibilities. This one is not metaphorically speaking. It means that there is a level of faith where you can move physical mountains. Is everybody hearing this? We have read in church history that people pushed their church. There was a particular church built on government land, and government was going there, and people gathered by faith and pushed it away from the land. Yes. You see, all my preaching on kingdom, he has not said Jesus. Is this what I'm teaching? But beautiful, beautiful. Amen. We should do that, don't you think so? Amen. We should do that. They push their church. You know, these are not realms in the mind. They push their church. May we contact such possibilities in Jesus' name. But most importantly, may we have such nature. May we think in that order. So that it is not a gift, it's a thinking. Hey, kingdom thinking. We think in the supernatural. Are you together with me? Brothers and sisters, if we all understood the kingdom message, we'll all be flying. I mean, we'll be having fun in life. I'm telling you the truth. If we understood the kingdom message and we stand there, no matter where you are, you cannot fail. I see many people break kingdom principles or run away from kingdom life. And I've checked it over and over again. When you run away from kingdom life, if you want to do anything purposeful in the eyes of God, if you run away for 10 years, you will come back again and start. You agree with me? You start. I've seen it over and over again. But I've seen people that stayed with kingdom life without manifestation. Listen, if all you are doing is according to the scripture, if there are no results, don't change what you are doing. If what you are doing is like, don't add to the scripture so that you can have result. That result is not true. If what you are doing is according to the scripture, stay there. Maybe God is just allowing things to go deeper and deeper for them to manifest. If you leave it and go and do other things because of results' sake, in the next 15 years, those of you that you stayed together with, those that stayed, they'll be the ones to train you again. I'm telling you the truth. Brothers and sisters, don't leave. Don't leave revealed word for testimony. Did you hear that? Don't leave. I believe that the joy of following the Lord is sweeter than testimonies. Don't you think so? The joy of just knowing that you are in the Lord's path. What's the use of a testimony without God's presence in it? Why should we testify and it's a lie? Why should we bring the mic and we are testifying to the glory of God and then the angels feel like stoning you? Because it's not true. Amen. Praise God. But if we are going to, Bible says that some people by faith, they died in faith without receiving the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see that, are you together with me? I don't know if you are listening to me. Are we on the same page? So Pastor Obi, we can see that faith actually is not for receiving. The faith for receiving is the kindergarten faith. And there is no bigger faith. There is no higher faith. It's just the faith to teach you faith. It's just God introducing faith to you to teach you what faith is. Actually, faith is that which we use to hold on to God. Faith is how we see God. Faith is for God. And faith is what we use to operate eternal life. Are we on the same page? That faith is not for receiving. It's first of all for what? For living. So in living, when you have to receive, you receive by faith. In living, when you have to lose, you lose by faith. Can you together with me? That you can lose by faith. And you can suffer by faith. So that when you check Hebrews 11 faith, you will see opposite manifestations. By faith, some people received their dead back to life. Whereas by faith, some people were sown into two. And it's still the faith. It receives and it loses. The constant in faith is that it operates the will. Are we on the same page? Do you get what I'm talking about, Sonny? Sonny, if you get this preaching, your life will never remain the same. This preaching, go and hear it. I'm telling you the truth. It's a very important preaching. Get this preaching and lock it into your OS. I don't know what that means. You cannot remain the same. The lady that will marry you will appreciate you. That you are not a normal man. Are you together with me? So faith is to operate the will. So in faith you receive miraculously. And in faith you would also lose. That is to suffer for Christ's sake. So you can see that the Abraham faith, I told you some weeks back, that when you check Sarah's faith, the receiving part of her faith, the old faith work was about 25 years. Are you correct? But the receiving part of the faith was only happened within months. Sarah did not believe God for a child for 25 years. She believed just within few months, according to the Bible. Even Abraham was the one that first doubted before Sarah doubted. I don't know if you're together with me. Go and check Genesis. When we read Sarah's account, the angel, the men from heaven told her that by this time next year, according to the time of... So at times, you better let God give you time frame when he prophesies to you. Because our God, the God you are dealing with, does not work in time. And this is very strange. What I mean by does not work in time is that he is in yesterday. Right now, he is in yesterday. That's if we want to explain it from the earth realm. To him, he does not know. But in the earth, he is in yesterday. He is in today. And he is in tomorrow. Praise God. Are you together with me? He is in yesterday. He is in where? Today. He is in what? He is in tomorrow. So we see that the faith of Sarah to actually receive was months. Because that day when they told her by this time next year you will receive, that day she laughed. And after laughing, she lied. Amen. But Sarah, give me. Sarah 11. Huh? Okay, Sarah 11. No, I mean verse 11. Not chapter 11. Okay, I think that's the way I call scriptures at times. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, were advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. You know, anytime I read things like this, I'm just really trusting God for strange miracles. Amen. Past the age of childbearing. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Listen, don't be shocked about this scripture. The Lord appeared to him, the Lord this thing. It happens to you. It's just that now it's more intimate. It happens inside you. There are times you just have some encounter, only you, and you know what to do. This is the Old Testament version. Have you had encounters with yourself? Only you, and you just know what God is saying. You cannot doubt. How did you come to know? It's the Lord that appeared to you. It's just that in this time, most of the activities had to come external because the spirit was not regenerated. Do you understand this? So the more spiritual you are, is your sign of spirituality is not how much external manifestations you will have. In fact, at times, the external manifestation you have is to help your faithlessness. Where God has to come with fire and cut.
Lord, I'm sorry.
God will come. I'm the Father, He's the Son, and this is the Holy Spirit, and this is Micah and Gabriel. We are real. Can you start a church for us? We are very real. We are the ones calling you. Actually, it should just, one of the major ways is that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. It will be that order. Amen. It will be that order. You see, but at times it comes that way to help our faith. And at times it comes that way because of the attacks we will face. Anytime, many of the times when God is going to come to you, comes to you such profound way. Amen. Are you together with me? It's because there will be a lot of attacks and He wants you to be grounded in faith. As he was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, this is a very strange writing. I don't even understand it. Three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." So you just need to understand very well, and let's just forget my book of Bible story, that these men are not cattle rearers. These are real spiritual beings. Just understand, these are patriarchs. Eh? Do you understand that? Don't think they are just some strange people. These are people that walked with God. And we should appreciate them. Amen. We should appreciate them and not speak down. Huh? We should not speak down and say, we have the New Testament. If they were born in our age, they too, they will be New Testament. They were just born there. Amen. But these ones walked with the Lord. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest under the tree. And I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. There are many things to talk about, but not today. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. Abraham ran to the head, took a tender and a good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is your wife Sarah? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. There are different times. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Just to chip in. So women, you better know the kind of man you will marry. Are you together with me? Because you are going to relate with him as Lord. And this is not old covenant. Because when we got to Peter told us that the doctrine is that women should be like who? Wives rather. Not women. Cannot call everybody Lord all over the room. Adam is not really to say Lord. Amen. It is the condition of the heart. Are you with me? This is the Bible. Every other thing is a lie. The pastor is afraid of what people will say if he preaches this one. You understand? People will abuse him that he's speaking down on women. So Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, and the Lord... Hey, can you see? Said to Abraham. So you see, Sarah's Lord is who? Abraham. Abraham's Lord is God. Can we shout hallelujah? This is the scarf you should tie. He said the woman should not have her head what? Uncovered. That was when it was so the when he was talking about women speaking in church, it was one of the things he was trying to say is that he says she should not usurp the authority of her husband. So we see two husband and wife coming to assembly having different doctrinal opinion, and then the wife is trying to enforce her idea. Are you together with me? He says, shut up, go home. And both of you should go and hear your husband. I don't know if you are together with me. Marriage is dangerous. It will either mar you or make you. Amen. So you better know who you want to call Lord. So when you see that boy that his face is handsome, just know whether it's that handsomeness you will eat. So, and when the guy too thinks he's ready to have a wife, he should ask himself whether he has a Lord, not have a job. What was he? What's wrong with you? not just have a job. When we are discussing kingdom, are you together with me? The first thing is to have a Lord, not just a Savior. So don't judge a spiritual man by the one that speaks in tongues or prophesies. And not the one that said that always says, "The Lord told me." If the word is not his Lord, the Lord cannot be his Lord. So before he says, "The Lord told me," check, is he living his life according to the word of the Lord? Amen. If he's not living that way, he cannot connect the Lord. This is important. This, if we don't know this, our marriages will crack. There is no other wisdom. Because, you see, there are other wisdom to manage other things. Education. You can treat education the way you like. You can treat other aspects of life the way you like. But marriage cannot, you cannot treat, it's not an English word. It's not the innovation of man. Are you together with me? Marriage was not it's not man's innovation. It was God that brought the innovation called marriage. That's why he told us that marriage is like Christ and the church. So God wanted to show Christ and church in our instituted what? Marriage. That is the only pattern. Are you together with me? And you know, Sarah cannot even get to a point of calling another human being Lord, except she also has been drilled by the Lord. So, are you together with me? So, the Lord God is the Lord of both of them. I don't know if you are with me. So, let me say this. I just wanted to say that before you go and track that slay queen, first be sure that the Holy Ghost can slay her. If the Holy Ghost can't slay her, is that slay queen that might slay your destiny? I'm telling you the truth, oh. What I'm teaching you is virginity. Women, a woman under the Holy Ghost is a virgin woman. Yes. This is spiritual virginity. When the Bible was speaking about virginity, the virgin church is the church the Holy Ghost has prepared. So spiritually, the preparation of the Holy Ghost is what brings you to virginity. Why? Because the soul has been disvirgined. Are you with me? It is only eternal life that the Holy Ghost carries that can restore the soul. The Bible says he restores my soul. This is only, it's only God that can do this. So you can see that your walk with the Holy Ghost is having effect in all areas of your life. It's kingdom. It's the new man walking like the new man. If we don't learn the kingdom message, we will speak the word of the new man and walk like the old man. God don't want us to walk like the old man. And what will bring a change of walk is the alteration within. Your father has power to alter you within. He will alter you. He will give you a shift. A spirit, a mind lift, a soul lift. And the last sentence to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old?" Alright. 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Then three men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. So Sarah did his own first. Rather, Abraham did his own first. Sarah did her own. So you can see that the faith to receive, is everybody with me? The faith for receiving, according to the Abraham and Sarah story, which we like to preach, that period with which they actually believe God for a son, we don't even know when.
Because even this, after this encounter, we don't know if the but Hebrews told us she believed. For Hebrews to tell us she believed, that means she believed after this. Because here, clearly, she did not. I don't know if you are together with me. So, but for that 25 years, they actually walked in faith. The faith they walked in was to follow God. Are you together with me? Faith was what? To follow God. Every decision they took, when Abraham and Lot had an issue, Lot's servant and Abraham's servant had an issue, that Abraham told Lot that it's not good for strife to be in our midst. He says, choose which one you want. Then say, Lot looked at the land that was green and lush. And then he chose. Are you together with me? Abraham lost a very juicy part of their portion. Now, that incident is fate. He lived by fate. His decision to deal with strife is fate. Are you together with me? It's not just receiving. And even after when his brother treated him that way, when Lot was kidnapped, Abraham took his army and went to rescue him. That one said, now what? Now faith. So faith is beyond receiving from God. It is actually working with God. Listen, if you don't understand faith this way, you will be heartbroken. You know why? You will use the premise of your faith will be the greediness of your soul. When faith is premised upon the foundation of a greedy soul, it will walk and not walk, walk and not walk, walk and not walk. That kind of faith will crush your soul. And then you will doubt the existence of God. Faith should be powered by the will. Are you with me? What may people call faith is positive thinking. So, when we check to Romans chapter 1 verse 17 that we're looking at, I plan to close early today. Let me check the time. I don't want what happened last week happen today. It's already happening. Last week will not happen today, I promise. I planned it. I spoke about it in my house. I said, today, that's why I preached. I started preaching immediately. No worship, nothing. I'm not connecting to any new song, any spirit thing. Let's focus on the word. It's Bible study. It's not spirit timeout. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I am not, go back there. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. Can we say gospel and power? So the gospel is the teaching, and embedded in that teaching is what? Is power. And what does that power bring? Salvation. For everyone who believes. Can we say for everyone who believes? Can we say for everyone who believes? For the Jew first and also the Greek. 17. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed. Somebody said the righteousness of God. So as we are, Pastor Obi, as we are unveiling the gospel, we are seeing the way of God. Bible says, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. So the kingdom has its righteousness. Are you hearing me? There is a way of the kingdom that we should seek kingdom and seek that way. Now Romans is saying to us that in the teaching of Christ, when we understand Christ, then God's righteousness will be revealed. 17. And that revelation is bringing faith. That revelation is bringing what? Faith. I don't know if you are hearing this. What's that revelation bringing? Faith. Faith for what? Faith for salvation. Because the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. So the reason for the gospel is what? Is salvation. Salvation or kingdom. On same page? On same page? On same page? So, as we are unveiling it, then faith is being imparted. You know, Paul was speaking in Galatians that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the revelation of the gospel of Christ. And what's faith? Faith brings assurance. Confidence. You begin to see the kingdom. You begin to perceive the kingdom. You begin to fellowship with the kingdom. You begin to take steps towards the kingdom. This might look big, but the simplicity of this are those confrontations the Holy Ghost gives you. Those check. That demand of the Spirit. Those, when you walk in the flesh, that check the Holy Ghost gives you and releases an order for you and says, this is the order of life. Then that statement of you should have done this is another journey that has been measured for you. Then you now begin to pray and trust God. Then grace is being imparted. Then after a while, you will see yourself walking in that light. Hallelujah. You know, God is not looking for those that can talk about Him. If we don't teach this, what we'll do is talk about Him. But God is looking for those that can represent Him. He says that then, when the Holy Ghost comes, He says, I trust Holy Ghost, very soon you will be witnesses of me. Amen. Eyewitness. John speaks about the things that we have heard, seen, looked upon, and our hands have handled. Let's begin to round off. 17. For it's righteousness of God revealed, for as it is written, the just shall what? Shall live by faith. Not just receive by faith. It's live by faith. Can we say live by faith? Can we say live by faith? Live by faith. What's faith? The impartation of divine consciousness. Yes. Divine consciousness is imparted into your spirit. That's faith. Awareness of God. Alive unto God. That's faith. The just shall live alive. When the just is living, they are living before God's face. When the just is living, he's living and God is right beside, before him. His soul is alive. Then because of that, he can take steps towards God. Now the doings, are you together with me? The effect of this, the what will minister this level of life is not, it's in preaching, but not just preaching. I've told you some time back, it's not just in preaching, in structure. The New Testament structure is a faith structure. The New Testament structure is a structure that imparts faith. The local assembly is a faith structure. You cannot enter the kingdom without a local assembly. You will not. Do you understand that? You will not. You will not. You cannot enter the kingdom by much just study and pray. Study and pray. No. You will engage. God has set some system. The Bible says that the same that descended is the one that ascended. Are you together with me? And he gave gifts unto men. These gifts are his arsenals for conveying people into the kingdom. So the apostolic gifts, amen, the prophetic, the apostolic office, the prophetic office, teaching office, pastoral office, evangelistic office, all these offices are to bring us to the stature of Christ, which is talking about the kingdom. These five offices. Now, you cannot live outside these five offices and enter kingdom. Are you together with me? Are you on the same page? You will not. So, if there is an office of a pastor, you cannot burn the office of a pastor and say you come into the kingdom. This is for another day. You see, because the pastoral office, are you together with me? The pastoral office and the local assembly setting is foundational. Now, listen. When you look at the first church, the first pastors we had are all apostles. Amen. All the first pastors we had are what? Are all apostles. After a while, they began to flow in different expressions of the apostolic. Are you together with me? Some became evangelistic, an evangelistic apostle. That is the first order. When the church began, when the church was birthed, we had the 12 apostles. Amen. Are we on the same page? That from the Jerusalem church, when the persecution broke out, then other ministries began to spring. We began to have prophets and teachers. Amen. Then we began to have the first class. I don't know if you are on the same page. We began to have the second class, rather, of the apostolic, which is Paul and Barnabas. Paul, Barnabas, and Apollos. And some others that are not mentioned in the Bible, which are the second apostles after the apostles of the Lamb. So the next pastors we had in the church, are you together with me, were trained directly by the second class of apostles. What is Pastor Zach saying? That when a pastor is not grounded in the apostolic doctrine, the people cannot come into maturity. This is for another day. Because when there is no apostolic insight, then there will be many vision, many ideas. Listen. Actually, we should be able to enter any church. Actually, if you change location, enter any church. And it should sound like your pastor's message in the village. Yeah, because not the one Bible. They don't share the Bible. Not different kind of Bible. They copy. It's the same Bible. It's the same document. It's the same document. But if you don't have apostolic enlightenment, you will feel like raising millionaires for Jesus. You just feel like that. If I can just raise millionaires for Jesus. Ideas, strange ideas will come in. Strange ideas. Because there is no, and Paul told us that the local assembly and them God's people can only be built on the foundations of what the apostles and the prophets. Can we say a big hallelujah? I'm just encouraging you that your Christianity is beautiful and every day you are gaining steps into God's kingdom and God's glory. And don't be discouraged. I'm just encouraging you. Let's round off with Mark. Let's round up the whole message. We don't have time. We're just meant to start the message. And I'm not trying to hype anything. But we don't have time. I don't want you to go home late today. But we're meant to start the message now. We're meant to look at Mark. We're meant to look at Galatians. We're just meant to start. But we don't have time. Can we rise up? Let us pray. Hold your neighbor. Hold somebody. Hold your neighbor. Now, the reason why we have crowd, the reason we have crowd without change is because the apostolic message is not taught. And then you can have miracles without the apostolic message. I'm telling you. When the apostolic, you see, because the apostolic message, when you teach it, you are only teaching two things: what Christ has done and the implication of that in our lives. Not just its implication as what it has done for us, but what it would demand of us. The pattern of life it has released for us. And we ask God for a restoration of that. Even in our midst as a community and in the body of Christ. Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. We need to look for a way where we can have time to teach. It's a sin if you have a church without time. It's a sin. We must have time. We must defeat it. I just wanted to know you must defeat time. We must look for how to defeat time. We'll restructure the meetings. Maybe we'll have some vigils very soon where we'll teach the word of God and pray together. We must have time. Church, there must be time. Eh? If you see you saw the pattern of the first church, there was time. They taught all night. You see, they would teach and we walk. After the teaching, they would be strolling, they would be crying. Paul was leaving, everybody was crying. Do you understand that? We must have time. It's not true. It's not God's idea. Stop that. It's not God's idea. 20 minutes message is set, is demon's idea. It's not God's idea. It's not. It can't be. You cannot teach 20 minutes. Yeah? We have to look at it. We have to discuss. Ask questions. Pray. Prophesy. The people of God must know God's presence. What the people of God know is the presence of men. We know about the presence of anointed men. That this anointed man has carried the microphone. Everybody sits aloud. No. God's people must be able to smell their Savior. That is why deception is common. Because we have known men and not God. When we know God, deception will not thrive. You would either be a Christian or an herbalist. You cannot wear suit on and have jazz under. It won't work. And so we also as a church must pattern ourselves and have time. If we're not going to have time, I hand over to Pastor Obi. We must have time. If we don't have time, we are lying to ourselves. We must preach and preach. From there, we'll bet new songs. We will sing the songs of the kingdom. From there, somebody will say, I had a lump in my breast. I can't find it again. And somebody will say, I had this in my head. It's gone. And healings will be happening. And yet we will stay in the word. And people's lives will change. Parents will come and say, my boy was a drunk before. He's no more a drunk. They will say, my boy used to smoke. He's no more. And the woman will come and say, my husband has changed. I want to follow him to where he's going. And the husband will look at his wife and say, where have you been going? You have been speaking to me more respectfully. And that is the reason our community has not changed, is that our churches have not represented Jesus well. And we repent of that tonight. Father, we give you praise.